Right now, you're listening to Morning Edition on WEMU, and I'm David Fair. When we see a piece of theater, we enjoy the final product, but may take for granted what went into getting it to stage in its final form. But what happens in the months and weeks leading to an opening night performance? To find out, WEMU's Wendy Wright went behind the scenes with the cast and director of the Performance Network's production of the Tennessee Williams classic, The Glass Menagerie.
Ida Scott. Oh, this is Amanda Wingfield. We missed you at the DAR last Monday. I said to myself, she's probably suffering with that sinus condition. Well, how is that sinus condition?
The cast gathers in the small, cramped, and dingy rehearsal room of the theater. The fluorescent lighting buzzes loudly amid the sounds of the outside streets. The Glass Menagerie was chosen with Carla Millarc in mind for the lead character of Amanda Wingfield. Here, she's running through a monologue without her script. It's an exercise that comes towards the end of the rehearsal process. Director Tim Rose told me it's that part of the play that fascinates the audience most.
Lots of non-theater people, the first question that they'll ask you after a show.
How'd you learn all those lines?
Exactly. That's it. That's it exactly.
How'd you memorize all those lines?
And what do we want to tell them other than that? What do they need to know?
They need to know there's a lot of, it's blood, sweat, and tears that go into putting a production together. We may spend 5-8 hours during the day rehearsing, but an actor will take that script home and live with it in the car, on the bus, on the bicycle, hopefully being very careful. But there's just a lot of studying. You know, we're students of theater, from the director to the designers to the performers. And so that means you're constantly learning. And that's the thing I think that's probably the misconception. They think that you come in, you memorize lines, you learn blocking, and it's done. But there are many detours along the way.
Character development is key. Kevin Young plays Tom in the play.
It's as if you're putting together a jigsaw puzzle. I think that's true, however, the puzzle changes in the process. You think you know how it's going to be laid out, and then you put a piece down, and the edges of that piece change, given the actors that you're working with, the direction, the technical aspects that come into play. And so you have to start to adjust your puzzle, and then the puzzle becomes its own thing by the time it opens.
Millarc puts her puzzle together in a similar way.
And then there's the real kind of the deepest level, which is the emotional level. The characters go through quite heavy emotional strain. You know, they're all under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of emotional conflict and that happens. And achieving the appropriate emotions without them being strained or forced or fake.
Going through that process, she gets to where she can live in the character's skin, even outside the context of the play.
All right, Amanda, why don't you give me a tour of the house?
Well, here we are in 1937, St. Louis. It's a far cry from the Mississippi Delta where I was raised. This is a small...
With the lines memorized and characters established, it becomes the job of director Tim Rose to put them together.
To make sure that each of the performers know that it's a journey and not a destination to where we're going. And actors come in, and I'm an actor as well, and you have a different mindset when you're on the other side of the table. But making sure that their choices are coming from a place of honesty. But it's all about truth. And the director is the barometer to say, just come on back to me. Come on back to where truth is. So let's do this. Let's go back to where Lord takes the gum. Okay, so let's just take it from there and see what we have.
I believe I will take a piece of gum if you don't mind. Mr. O'Connor, have you kept up with your singing?
Singing? Me? Okay, hold on a second. So what we're going to do is just go back. Really work for trying to figure out who this person is. You know how you have something on the tip of your tongue?
Yes.
So kind of push that idea as you're searching for why she looks familiar to you. Okay. So this starts, we don't have to do the gum part again. So, Mr. O'Connor, what have you been, how's your singing going along?
Mr. O'Connor, have you kept up with your singing?
Singing? Me?
Oh, yes. I remember what a beautiful voice you had.
Moving from rehearsal room to stage means setting the actor's blocking, defining the performance cues, and making sure the lights are exactly right.
Can you continue.
So now there needs to be a significant shift here to denote time passage.
That was the back, it gets, the light shifts in the room and the whole background changes.
Okay, so now I need to know what the violinist can and cannot see. Can you see that shift? Can you show that shift again from?
On the wall right by you? I think she's got to be able to see the strips. They're right above her head.
Oh. So this is what cue are we in now? This is for
49.
And that is when he.
That's when he falls asleep.
When he falls asleep. Go ahead and fall asleep for me, Kevin. Kevin falls asleep. Boom, boom, and then now we shift.
Director Tim Rose says only one element remains to make the play come alive.
The audience is that other cast member. You don't audition them. You know, they pay for the privilege to be a part of the play. But with them, there's a live energy that takes place, you know, unlike film, television. You know, so they're very, very important, aside from the fact that, you know, they help pay the bills and pay the salaries. They're important to the outcome of that evening's performance.
Colin Millark says it's especially true for the actors.
When an audience is with you and you can feel that they're with you, the audience can feel it back, you know, and that's when that circle of exchange starts to get going, and that's when the real magic happens. It's like when you can feel the audience is there and then they can feel that they're there with you and you're there with them back, you know, it's a sort of connection that you can't see, but it's there and you can feel it and you know it's there. And I think that that's really why people go to the theater. It's certainly why actors do what they do.
And so it's time.
Everyone, please take your seats. Everyone, please take your seats. The house is about to go to black.
They'll be straightened out.
Places, please, for the top of part one.
To begin with, I turn back time. I reverse it to that quaint period, the 30s, when the huge middle class of America was matriculating in a school for the blind. Their eyes had failed them, or they had failed their eyes, and so they were having their fingers pressed forcibly down on the fiery braille alphabet of a dissolving economy. In Spain, there was
and after months of preparation and rehearsal, we arrive here, the place where production meets public, opening night. The Glass Menagerie public previews begin this evening and run through October 28th.
Chicago, Cleveland.
Wendy Wright, WEMU News.
This is the social background of the play. The play is memory. Being a memory play, it is dimly lighted. It is sentimental. It is not realistic. In memory, everything seems to happen to music. That explains the fiddle in the wings. I am the narrator of the play and also a character in it. The other characters are my mother, Amanda, my sister, Laura.